May it please the Court again, Counsel. The question in this appeal is whether the District Court should have reduced Mr. Rossi's offense level for his minor role in this meth conspiracy. Mr. Rossi.
This is a real problem, too, because here we've got 8 trips that he takes, these interstate trips over a period of time, bringing the meth. So that's, I think, a real problem for this minor participant when it was 93.5 kilos of meth.
I understand that 93.5, I understand, is the entire conspiracy, though, and he was not part of the entire conspiracy, and that's one of the factors that we would request this court to look at. But, yeah, 8 trips.
I mean, I understand he didn't bring that he wasn't responsible for that total, but his 8 trips certainly contributed to that.
Well, that's certainly a factor. On the other hand, the test is to compare his participation with the other participants' participation, and he really didn't know anything about these other people. I mean, he took the trips, and he did what he was supposed to under this agreement to repay a loan of $10,000. On the other hand, he really didn't know a whole lot.
These appeals are really pointless because, of course, the judge could give him the same sentence anyway and say, yeah, well, you're not a minor participant within the meaning of the guidelines, but I think you're a major participant, right?
The court could say he was a major participant.
It just goes to 3553A, right? And he says, "Yeah, I look need for deterrence and nature and circumstances of the crime, and so on. I think your participation was substantial, and so I'm going to stick with my sentence."
That would be a different posture, of course.
No, it wouldn't. It would be the same thing. You know, haggling over tiny little arguable errors in guidelines doesn't make a lot of sense now that the guidelines are merely advisory. Sure, if the judge makes some big error, you know, and misunderstands the guidelines, something of that sort, but if you just have, you know, really discretionary calls, is it minor, did it cross the line, and so on, then The appeal on that is just going to have no significance. It goes back to the judge, and the government will say, yeah, technically it's not, he wasn't a minor participant in the guidelines, but, you know, what Judge Williams was saying about the number of trips and the amount he was carrying, you know, prosecutor will tell the judge, you know, you were absolutely right to give this sentence, and you can easily justify it under 3553A.
Well, that may be true, and it may be truer in cases where we're talking about like a couple different guideline ranges. In this case, the guideline range would be dramatically different if this minor role reduction had been imposed. Instead of the 135 to 168 months that he was facing, it would have been 70 to 87 by my calculation.
The problem, Mr. McGowan, really is that I don't think that if you looked and looked and looked, you could identify a case in which a defendant who had transported quantities of drugs as large as those that are presented here, you know, 8 trips, was given a 2-level reduction as a minor participant. I mean, I think it would be really hard to find.
Well, this isn't the easiest adjustment to run.
I know.
Look what the judge said. I'm looking at App 17 in your brief. He says, "Why didn't you bring the briefs up? Why didn't you bring your brief up with you?"
I'm sorry. I just want to follow along.
It's just odd when lawyers leave their papers on the desk.
I apologize.
He's such a pro. He can do it.
Well, apparently not. He had to run over and get it.
I apologize.
No. No, if you look at what the judge is saying, you know,
you.
I'm trying to determine what a just sentence is. It's ironic that the only way to arrive at a sentence of less than 10 years would be to use a mechanical application for the guidelines. And he says, look what he says. Doesn't think, I'm not going to hook this sentence to the guidelines. We look at this statute. And So when you go back, if we were to reverse, he'd say, well, look, I wasn't applying the guidelines mechanically. I thought he should receive this 10-year sentence.
Well, like I said,
does the federal defenders ever file an Anders brief, or is that sort of against, you know, policy?
Your Honor, we file Anders briefs every day.
I mean, because it looks as if every sentence is being appealed, even when there's no reason to think that a reversal could make any difference.
All I know is we file a fair amount of Anders briefs, Your Honor.
We do.
Yes, we do. And unless there are any other questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. McGowan. Mr. Blackington?
Thank you very much. The first thing that I'd like to sort of correct on the record is the assumption that the defendant only made 8 trips to Texas to bring back methamphetamine. In the factual basis offered by the government, we allege that over a 3-year period of time, he made 1 trip every 6 weeks to bring back 7 pounds of meth. At his sentencing hearing, his lawyer made the statement, essentially, my client says he only made 8 trips. He may have made more, so I don't want the court to automatically assume that there's a basis in the record, a strong basis in the record for suggesting that he only made 8 trips and that he was involved only at the tail end. It's our contention that he was involved for the entire 3-year period. But be that as it may,
So let me just clarify, in his guilty plea, did he admit to the every 6 week?
No, he didn't. In the change of plea colloquy, he admitted to joining the conspiracy. The defense lawyer said, and I'm looking at page 13 of the transcript, the 12th page that was printed out. It's hard to read due to the format. But he says there's a disagreement about some factual details and some details that Mr. Rossi didn't know. He was very cryptic. He'd mentioned he didn't fully agree with the government's very factual basis to the letter, but it was very cryptic and there is no indication of what specifically he disagreed with. So the record wasn't clear at the plea hearing about how many trips he was admitting to or how many he wasn't. But I really think in the fundamental aspect of this case, the number of trips he made really isn't a particularly significant factor due to the weight of the meth he was bringing back, 7 pounds a trip. If it's 8 trips or 30 trips, it's still a very large amount. It puts him at level 38 under the guidelines. And the backdrop of this case...
I'm still on this number of trips, but he admitted to at least 8 trips, that's what you're saying?
Yes, he admitted to at least 8. The government thinks there are more. The standard of review cuts against the defendant in this case. Of course, it's a clear error standard, and this court said it'll seldom deny reverse a denial of a minor role reduction. And the second thing is this case is really about a guy who's a classic standard garden variety drug courier that I've seen and this court has seen many, many times. He brings the dope from Texas to Indiana. He doesn't distribute it. He takes the dope from point A to point B. And in the Mendoza case, I pulled a block out of that in page 10 of my brief. The court indicated in Mendoza how really important these drug couriers are in the drug distribution business. And this court, I could not find a case in my research where the court, and all of these cases are different. There are factual nuances, but where a garden variety meth courier or drug courier like this has been denied a role reduction by the district court, where he's appealed and this court has reversed and said, yeah, he should have been a minor participant. It hasn't happened, and it hasn't happened for the reasons that the court set forth very well in the Mendoza case, that these people really are significant, what they do. They're essential components of a drug organization, and you know they really can't function without them. So with that in mind, I don't have anything else unless the court has any questions for me.
Thank you, Mr. Black.
Thank you.
Mr. McGowan, do you have anything further? Okay, well, we thank you very much.